people are selling it, you know. Oh, some people are selling it, maybe 3 million, 4 million Ghana cedis.
4 million Ghana cedis?
Yes.
Per kidney?
Yeah. Somebody will say, oh, get me 2-bedroom apartment, let me go and stay. I'll give you one of my kidneys. It's there.
Wow.
Black market sale of kidneys boom, with one kidney going for as much as 4 million cedis. That's the revelation by the president of renal patients as government rolls out an organ donation policy to check trafficking. Also tonight.
When I hear that someone on the list is at that, I ask myself, so will I also die?
13-year-old Rosemary Boedu giving another chance at life as she receives $25,000 free of charge from Ibrahim Mahama for the much-needed kidney transplant.
As soon as my boss, Mr. Ibrahim Mahama, attention was drawn to the video, he quickly instructed we go ahead and make payment for the procedure to start. Then by 9 a.m. this morning, we've done the payment.
And politics has penetrated everywhere, including the judiciary. That's the verdict of former acting Chief Justice William Atuguba as he takes on the president for the recent appointment of judges to the Supreme Court, questioning the appointment of a former whole parliamentary candidate of NPP to the bench.
This judge is taken from the High Court straight to the Supreme Court. I don't think he has even done 3 years in the High Court. I'm not aware that any decision of his has been published in any law report.
Also tonight, Electoral Commission sparks fresh controversy after the reassignment of over 800 affected voters affected by the closure of some polling stations which failed to meet the required voter threshold. Details of the much sought-after voter summaries as the NDC questions the decision of the EC.
The issue about the polling stations which do not exist again. This is the first time they are announcing it, and I'm sure you, the media, have taken notice of that. This is the first time. So if we hadn't asked, all these things wouldn't have been up. We would have been going to elections knowing certain polling stations exist.
And over 18 million Ghanaians guess the all clear to cast their ballot on December 7, but hopes of Ghana Freedom Party replacement candidate dashed as the Electoral Commission cut short his ambition after detecting illegal endorsements and errors in the forms presented.
A number of errors and some illegalities with the form. The commission therefore wrote to the party and to the candidate disqualifying him.
In business.
Bank of Ghana suspends foreign exchange trading license of Consolidated Bank Ghana for a month.
And in sports, 22 players present as Black Stars hold second training session in Accra ahead of Friday's AFCON qualifier against Angola.
By collective effort that the nation's problems can be solved.
The white man who brought the Bible into my country, your continent, the Muslim who brought whatever it is, he's the same.
And it's exactly 4 years since the passing of former President Jerry John Rawlings. Tonight, opposition NDC commemorates his demise with calls for the party to maintain his values without departing from the standards of the party's founder.
If we can learn to be bold enough to restore the value of truth in our society, then we will have justice.
We have details of that and more here on Newsnight. You want to stay with us and join us with your thoughts and your comments is via WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. I am MFR Powell.
And my name is Evans Mensah. Details after this.
Thanks for staying with us here on Newsnight. We start off on a health note. We've been talking a lot about kidneys and dialysis. And tonight, the black market sale of kidneys booms with one kidney going for as much as 4 million cedis. That's the revelation that came up last night on PM Express when President of Renal Patients Association, Bafo Kojo Ahinkra, appeared on the show. According to him, many of his members are looking for alternatives, especially on the black market, as funding their dialysis treatment continues to strain them of all their resources. Well, the story is not entirely different from 13-year-old Rosemary Boedu looking urgently for $25,000 for a kidney transplant. Well, we know that she was diagnosed with end-stage kidney failure at a time when most children are filled with dreams and aspirations, age 13. Here are excerpts of Joy News feature, Dialysis at 13, produced by Emmanuel Giveno, read to you.
Will I be on dialysis for the rest of my life? Or will I get someone to help me out of this? Or that will be the end of my life?
Rosemary Boedu's journey with end-stage kidney disease began at the tender age of 13, a time when most children are filled with dreams and aspirations. Her daily existence has been marked by a delicate dance of survival.
sometime soon there is nothing for us to eat again. So what we always eat is maybe buy some biscuits and take a baby, drink water like this and sleep. I always ask myself, when would this just stop?
Kidney transplant is often the preferred long-term treatment option. Transplant may offer the possibility of restoring kidney function and improving quality of life compared to ongoing dialysis. Unfortunately, Rosemary and her mother have been pushed to the very edge of society.
I need help for transplant. My mother cannot afford that money. My father cannot. Family members alone to come to North Africa. I'm pleading with everybody to help me to do transplant.
The Oko machine also no. Na enkoro mo waso no. Omo do so waso pa. Na sese aka ono kwa.
When I hear that someone on the list is at that, I ask myself, so will I also die?
Mamo Givenus report for Joinish.
After hearing the particular report, Ibrahim Mahama, and the chief executive of the Engineers and Planners and Jata Cement, has paid the full $25,000 needed for that kidney transplant to save the life of that 13-year-old Rosemary Boydo you just heard of. Rafiq Mahama is a special aid to Mr. Mahama.
As soon as my boss, Mr. Ibrahim Mahama, attention was drawn to the video, he quickly instructed we go ahead and make payment for the procedure to start for our daughter. So I quickly contacted the Joy News team to notify them that this is the instructions coming from my boss, Mr. Ibrahim Mahama. Then by 9 a.m. this morning, we've done the payment. We wish her a speedy recovery. We hope that the procedure goes well, everything goes well. And there are so many works that we do, but because this one is more media centered story, that's why it's out there. But we do a lot of philanthropic work out there, both education and other sectors. And Mr. Ibrahim Mahama has that, he has that kind heart towards humanity. Then we always reach out to those in need, and we try to help them as soon as possible. Then we wish our daughter a speedy recovery, and we hope that everything goes well.
So that's Rafiq Mahama there speaking for Ibrahim Mahama. And of course, at this point, we all say thank you to Ibrahim Mahama for that support, very timely. But the bigger issue for tonight also is that there's a boom of the black market when it comes to the sale of kidney in this country.
Indeed, in the case of Rosemary, the mother is ready to donate her own kidneys for her. But in the case of many other patients with kidney challenge, they're unable to find it. And so then what we're now learning is that individuals in the black market are taking advantage of that space and selling kidneys, looking for the kidney, harvesting it, and sometimes just selling it at as much as 4 million CDs.
For somebody to even to give it his kidney to, people are selling it, you know.
People are selling the kidney?
Yes, indirectly. People are doing it.
In Ghana,
people are doing it indirectly. But normally you're supposed to get a bloodline. Like your brother, your mother, something like that together. But now, you know, the country is hot. People need money. So if I can live on one kidney, some people don't mind if they check.
How much are they selling it for?
Oh, some people are selling it maybe 3 million, 4 million Ghana cedis.
4 million Ghana cedis?
Yes.
Per kidney?
Yeah. Some people are doing it. We give it to you. You check. Once you do the labs and you are compatible, it's ready to give it to you. You give it to him. Somebody will say, oh, get me 2-bedroom apartment, let me go and stay. I'll give you one of my kidneys. It's there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's there because, you know.
So you buy the 3 million Ghana cedis kidney, and then you have to now go and pay for the procedure.
Yes.
Because you're doing a story where this 13-year-old needs $25,000.
Yes.
For the procedure.
Yes.
Not the kidney, but the procedure.
Yeah, the procedure.
That's a lot of money in terms of...
That's what I'm saying. For 10 years now, if I'm to sit down, calculate the erythropoietin injection alone that I have bought, the BP medication that I have bought, and I calculate that money, I could have done transplant way back.
So that's the president of Renal Patients Association, Bafo Kojo Ahinkra, there speaking on PM Express. And did he get to mention where exactly they harvest these kidneys and where exactly they sell?
So from his account, mm-hmm. individuals themselves, so because a person may be okay. desperate, if you are looking for the kidney, they can donate one of their own kidneys to you, but they'll sell it. I use the word donate. They actually sell it to you between 3 to 4 million CDs, and that is unregulated. And if there are, you know, reports out there about people actually then harvesting the kidneys illegally, taking advantage of people just so they can sell it on the market. Can you imagine if it's costing 4 million CDs? A lot of people will do a lot just to have that kidney out on the market, because the people who are desperate, the people who actually have the money to do the procedure, right, but they can't find the kidney that much. We know the government plans to do something about this. I want to bring in Dr. Anthony Siasari, is a presidential advisor on health, joins us on the line right now. Look, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. I mean, because of this challenge, I know that the cabinet has been thinking about this organ donation policy for a while. Where are we in getting that to a point where we can enforce and implement that across the country?
Thank you very much, Ivan. Yes, I think I heard what you are talking about kidney harvesting and black market early yesterday. I'm not aware where they are doing the harvesting and how they are doing it. But as you rightly said, chronic renal failure, like other non-communicable diseases, other chronic diseases, is becoming a burden for us because of one, living longer. There's also lifestyle changes and others. So what government is doing is that we plan, and it's in our MPP manifesto, that we want to pass the policy that has been on the table for some time, which will go through stakeholders, or is going through stakeholders consultation, the cabinet approval to the next parliament, so that we pass a law which will guard tissue and organ donation, storage, and transplantation. And once you have this law passed, it's going to be the guiding principle for any organ transplant. So before you donate your organ, you go through education, you go through a system, and then where it will be stored. Some people will be readily available also after education to also donate it freely in case of an accident or any other thing. It's not only kidneys, but even the cornea. There are people in this country, professionals, who can do cornea transplant for people to see again, even skin. And the same thing for those who are doing in vitro fertilization, what you call the testing babies. They are all tissues, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, everything, so that you can have storage places. Maybe Kolebu is storing this, Konfanochi is storing this, Tamale stores maybe skin, this one stores cornea, and then we will then regulate who gets it and when the person gets it and how they get it. And this will be the way that will minimize or will stop any black market here. Because doing black market for organ black market here is a very serious offense. And I believe that when there's a law like this, it won't happen in this country. Or even if it happens, we will get the culprits and then do whatever you want to do to them.
The big question then is, how soon will this materialize? We are looking at timelines for this.
We're all thinking that we could have gone through this law by this parliament, but this parliament has a few days to go. So we believe that it will be one of the first things to be passed into law during the ninth parliament.
Well, when we hear about these organ, you know, black market issues, most of the time people attribute it to certain countries like India, amongst others. I'm surprised you're also saying that this is the first time you're actually hearing it when you're on PM Express last night. But I'm sure since then you've been finding out about how prevalent this situation is as we speak in Ghana. What did you find?
I can't fathom what he's talking about, because I don't know who is doing that. Because I know people go to India. Some people come here to do organ transplantation, especially a kidney transplant. They normally use their relatives, either a close friend or close relative, but I'm not aware. And I don't think any of the doctors who are doing the transplantation are aware that apparently these kidneys are bargained and then paid for 4 million Ghana cedis. I'm not aware of that. Maybe my old friend Ahinkwa will be able to tell us if somebody has charged him 4 million to give his kidney to you. But there are people who use either their mothers or their brothers or close relatives to give them their kidneys. But everybody has two kidneys. If you are okay and then you can give out one of your kidneys, I don't believe that people go out there looking for people to sell their kidneys to them. I know, as you rightly said, in some other countries, but in Ghana, I don't think it's as rampant or it's happening a lot. Because only few kidneys are transplants are done in this country. They come, they do a few of them and go away. And maybe some people go with their relatives or people that are going to donate kidneys to India to do it. And they are not as many as that. But in our system, what you want to do is that now that we have a center of excellence in Kolebo, this nephrology and urology center, they can then also set up kidney transplants, even not only for Ghanaians, but also for people in the sub-region.
Well, also, Dr. Nsiasare, the issue about, there's a big announcement that we've been hearing over the weekend about the extension to private hospitals and the cost of dialysis treatment, amongst others, which will be absorbed by government starting December 1. I want to quickly find out about the piloting that was done over the period. What would be your assessment of what you were able to do, you'd say?
I think so far it has worked so well, because I haven't seen any of the health institutions complaining about reimbursement of the patient that is seen. And health insurance is telling us that they are not even getting the actual figure that they put there, which is about 400 patients in a month. So far, so good. It has saved a lot of lives. And yesterday, the president of the Dialysis Patients Association also said it has brought them a lot of relief. And this is why we believe that we should extend it and then give to all the other patients. And then we look at also the private sector, if how much they are charging, and do you negotiate with them? If somebody who continues to go there and then wants to maybe be a co-payment by them, so be it. But for public facilities, it's going to be done for all kidney failure patients who are on dialysis.
Most of the time when such policies are rolled out, the issue is about the payments that will have to go to the facilities that are rendering these services. Let's talk about the piloting. Have we made all payments so far before we start the rollout on December 1?
Yes, so far I haven't heard anybody complaining that they've seen the patient and they have not been reimbursed.
How much has it cost us for this piloting so far?
The budget was, if I remember very well, because I was the chairman of the committee, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it is 40 patients at 491 times the past 6 months. So that's how it comes to about 4.something million or something.
Now, sustainable, will this be starting from December 1? Some have already started questioning the timing of this particular rollout of the free dialysis policy.
What is the problem with the timing?
It does appear that it's more like a campaign promise. That's the issue.
Because of election, there should be no policy put in place until after the election.
But why wait all this while? When we knew Dr. Anthony Nsiasare, at some point, patients were crying. We did a lot of stories, including yourself. You were here for a dialogue on this particular matter. We've been to Kolebu, we've been to CAF. It's been how many months now Kolebu has been complaining about the fact that they didn't have money to take care of dialysis patients. Yet we waited. We're almost at an election time. That's why the people are complaining that the timing is questionable.
I think you are wrong. If you are one of the patients, you will not talk about timing. I believe that we don't have to let everything be politics, because these are policies. Even though we are going into elections, it doesn't mean that any policy that you want to bring up to wait after the election. But if you realize, you see, renal failure cases is not only about dialysis. Dialysis is a stopgap treatment. We are thinking holistically about how you manage all chronic cases. That's the reason why health insurance have also introduced one free medical check a year, so that you can diagnose it early, the causes of diabetes and hypertension and other things. The main causes of renal failure, which you have to go on dialysis, studies have been done. It's mainly hypertension and diabetes. It's also known that about 70% of patients on living who are hypertensive don't even know that they were hypertensive until they went into crisis. And this may lead into the chronic renal failure and they go on to dialysis. So you know it early. You treat the underlying causes, follow them up, do health education, do health prevention, of live responsible and proper healthy lifestyle. And those who then develop into chronic renal failure for one reason or the other can then be on dialysis and later on go into renal transplant when they find the appropriate kidneys to be replace what it has been destroyed.
Okay. Dr. Anthony Nsiasaris, Presidential Advisor on Health, speaking to us on this policy they are hoping to introduce, and then also the free dialysis issue or treatment that starts from
such a big deal. I mean, let's just check the preparedness of some of the major hospitals that we know will be implementing this policy from December 1. Dr. Yao Parelabi is a Deputy Medical Director at the Confanoche Teaching Hospital, joins us on the line right now. Doc, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. First off, you participated in that pilot. Have you been fully paid for the services you rendered?
Good evening, Evan. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Right, thank you. Good evening, all the listeners. Right, yeah, we've had the pilot.
Yeah, apologies there. Let's get him on a better connection. The line has some feedback there, and that we can hear him. But maybe the phone, it has a radio on also that needs to be put off. Once we get him on the line, we'll get clarity on that. And I know many of you are looking forward to this taking off. We just want to get clarity for you how the hospitals themselves are preparing for the takeoff of this free dialysis policy across the board. Now, the CDD fellow on health, Kwame Sapasudu, who was also on the show, is questioning the timing of the free dialysis rollout, which you have asked MFA on to the special advisor on health on that particular subject. We'll hear pretty shortly from the Confanoche Teaching Hospital deputy director who joined us now. I believe he's on. Okay, we'll get him pretty shortly. George Jaffe is joining me with business also on the very latest from the world of business. And we'll also be hitting the campaign trail pretty shortly. In the meantime, listen to, we can now speak to Dr. Yao Parelabi, who just reconnected with us. Hopefully the line is better. Now, Doc, can you hear me, sir?
Hello, yes. Good evening, Evan.
It is better, yes. I was asking you if you've been fully paid for the services you rendered.
All right. I think your first question had to do. You asked whether we were part of the pilot.
Yes. Were you?
Yes. Yes. Confanoche Teaching Hospital has been part of the pilot. We were the first to roll it out. We have three categories of patients. We have the 18 and below, 18 years and below, 19 to 59 years, and then we have the 60 years and above, and they've. These three categories have been receiving dialysis free since the 1st of August.
Have you been paid fully, reimbursed by the National Health Insurance Authority?
We have been paid. Payments are ongoing. So, in terms of whether payments are up to date, I need to cross check with our finance department. But payments have been coming because we've been sending our claims and the National Health Insurance sometimes comes back for us to clarify certain things. And then after that, when they are satisfied, they effect the payment.
How much has it cost you so far?
That would be difficult to say. Yes, because I can only get those figures from finance.
Based on the arrangement and the commitment by the National Health Insurance Authority to pay as and when you submit an invoice to them, the government is rolling out the free policy from December 1. This is going to cover all renal patients who will choose to come to Confanoche. Are you ready for this?
This rollout is certainly going to put us under more pressure, because when the current arrangement that is running was introduced, we saw our numbers climb up. Now, we For Konfanoche, currently we have 7 dialysis machines. And then we have for adults and 2 for children. But we don't have too many children on dialysis. So we have 7. So when what the government has announced is going to start on the 1st, we are going to see our numbers go up some more. And this will certainly put us under a lot of pressure. And the hospital is making efforts to increase the number of machines we have. We just recently received 2 machines donated by the Ghana Airport Company. They arrived on last Saturday. The hospital has also purchased 4, which are yet to arrive, and we are expecting another 2, which are also donations. But currently, as I speak, we have 7 machines that are working. So we really need more machines, and we are hoping that the government will support us, just as they've done recently. I think I can mention Kolebu, who were given 30 dialysis machines, and we have 7. And if you look at the number of patients that we see in our catchment area, we certainly need more help. We actually now have a refurbished dialysis unit, but it's empty, and it can take about 24 machines. So the 7 machines we are using now are located in a smaller unit, which is now serving the patients who come for dialysis.
And let me ask you bluntly, without the additional machines, can you take off December 1?
It's going to be difficult.
Thank you very much there. That is the Deputy Medical Director at the Konfanoche Teaching Hospital speaking to us about the take-off of the full free dialysis treatment policy from December 1, Dr. Yao Parelabi. Thank you very much. And George Afi, as I said earlier, is with me. He has business. What's the latest, George? Sanctions against Consolidated Bank?
Yeah, when it comes to their license to operate or undertake foreign exchange transactions,
they've been suspended for 1 month, effective November 26th, for a month period. They can't undertake foreign exchange activities for that period, according to the Bank of Ghana. And economist Professor Lord Mensah describes Citi's recent recovery as expected, but wants government to do more to support the Bank of Ghana's efforts. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal.
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, Bank of Ghana has suspended the foreign exchange trading license of Consolidated Bank Ghana, effective from November 26, 2024. There is more in this report.
But the action will last for a month, starting off November 26, 2024. The development should mean that Consolidated Bank Ghana will not be able to undertake foreign exchange transactions during this period because they've been suspended by the regulator. According to the Bank of Ghana, it took the action as a result of a number of breaches of the foreign exchange market regulations, which have all come to the attention of the Bank of Ghana. It adds that the license will be restored at the end of the one-month suspension period once the Bank of Ghana is satisfied that Consolidated Bank Ghana has put in place effective controls to ensure strict adherence to the foreign exchange market regulations.
And that is a Business Dex report. Now, economist Professor Lord Mensah has described the city's recent performance. As expected, the local currency has posted some marginal gains from last Thursday after sustained depreciation over the previous weeks. But Professor Lord Mensah believes that the Bank of Ghana has done enough, but the fiscal side needs to complement its recent initiatives.
When the central bank pushed the supply of the dollar to the short term, which is the spot market, obviously, it signals the market that, you know, the central bank has, you know, enough in dollars to meet the demand. And as a result of that, there's no pressure on requesting the currency, you know, forward that much. And so that's an obvious reaction that is expected. The central bank has given a signal that it has enough buffer to meet, you know, the demand. And so the market is expected to react to that. But then let's see how sustainable, I mean, it is. So I would say, I mean, the central bank is doing its best, but then in the long term, I mean, it's going to be difficult to keep this, you know, supplies on if we don't take advantage of, you know, the current fiscal space that we have as a result of our debt restructuring. I mean, to ensure that we take advantage of, you know, the free space in terms of debt service to make sure we keep enough dollars. This exercise is going to be a kind of the usual short-term measures that we put when it comes to the currency management. But
and that is economist Professor Lord Mensah. Now, Chief Executive of DLX Finance, Joe Jackson, says he doesn't expect the Bank of Ghana to reduce its policy rate anytime soon. The central bank from November 25 this year began its regular meetings to review developments in the economy and announce a new policy rate. However, some industry watchers are pushing for a reduction in the policy rate to help deal with the high cost of credit. But speaking to Joy Business at the Bank of Ghana Stakeholders Forum on Collateral Enforcement, Jackson noted that the October inflation hike might make this difficult.
Look at the inflation rate, which is rising. That should tell you immediately that it's this. First of all, any further reduction will not happen. What will most probably happen is there will be a hedge to say, let's hold and see what happens. Remember, the inflation, the food inflation is rising in September. Now, that should scare you and I, because September is one of the periods where the harvest has happened, things should be much cheaper. If food inflation is happening in September, what will happen in February? And remember that, even referring to our earlier discussion about high rates, the rates of inflation we have in this country also make for the high rates that we charge. All right, because who will give you money if inflation is going to wipe out this money?
Joe Jackson is chief executive of DLX Finance. In a bid to position Ghana as a destination choice for business process outsourcing in Africa, the German Corporation and the Ghana Investment Promotion Center and its partners have launched the Business Outsourcing Service Association of Ghana. This will enable Ghana to tap into the global business processing outsourcing and also market itself as a better place when it comes to attracting these investments. Speaking at an event in Accra, Chief Executive of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, Yofu Grant, said this should also help in creating more jobs in Ghana.
Today, as we speak, total revenues expected from the BPO business globally is about $0.49 trillion. Now, even if we're just to take 1% of that, that's in the billions of dollars. And it might, you know, exceed even what we get from cocoa and from timber and from gold and all that, if we build it up as an industry in the economy.
Yofi Grant is chief executive of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center. Now, the Ghana Stock Exchange is partnering some financial technology firms to open up the market for more offshore investment. Managing director of the Ghana Stock Exchange, Abunamua, disclosed this to Joy Business after a short ceremony to celebrate the 34th anniversary of the Ghana Stock Exchange.
So some of the fintechs, some of the partners we are working with are associated with our stock brokerage firms. So IC Securities, Data Bank, and a few others, FinCap Securities, many of the banks, etc., are all partners that we've given access to our system to be able to link their system and provide these tools to investors or create these opportunities for investors. There are also local fintechs like Second Stacks that we've again verified, provided access to our system. And today on the Second Stacks platform, investors can trade from Ghana into Nigeria, Kenya, soon to be announced, hopefully, BRVM. But this is a Ghana fintech that we worked with from Ghana Stock Exchange and facilitated their access to additional African markets. And we want to do more of those.
Abunamua is the managing director of the Ghana Stock Exchange. It might be a good time to look at the market and how things fare today. If you are a shareholder in GCB, each share that you are holding was up by 5 pesos to close at 6 Ghana cedis 30 pesos. That also of ETI was up by a peso and is now closing at 25 pesos. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Back to you, MFA, or back to you to our sports presenter.
Yeah, so Mr. Crantin is here with the very latest. Hello.
Ivans, let's jump straight into the stories. And 14 players joined in to take the overall number to 22 players who took part in the Black Stars training session in Accra earlier today. Jordan Ayew, who will captain the team during the international window, Fatah Issahaku, Enes Nyama, and Lawrence Atizigi are among those who joined in today's session. Fullback Ebenezer Annan is expected to join the team later tonight ahead of tomorrow's flight to Luanda, Angola. Ghana will take on Angola on Friday in their penultimate AFCON qualifier. Still, the Black Stars head of communications for the Ghana Football Association, Henry Asante Chum, has confirmed that the team is unlikely to receive external visits from persons of influence due to time constraints ahead of Friday's qualifier.
It's something that came up this morning in our normal technical team meetings. Unfortunately, we do not have time on our hands. Today's training is the first one. Tomorrow they will train, and then Wednesday we'll do light training before we depart for Angola. So we do not have enough time to go through all those pleasantries that we normally take the team through when they are in camp. So as things stand, the simple answer to your question is no.
Head of Communications for the GFA, Henry Asante Chum, bring that into sports. Back to Evans.
Thank you very much, Kranting. There, still live here on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. Tonight, former Supreme Court Judge William Atogaba is taking on President Akufo-Addo for appointing the former whole parliamentary candidate of the MPP, NS Gaiwu, to the Supreme Court. An explosive interview with Elton Brobe on the back of the Supreme Court ruling on the declaration of some 4 seats vacant in Parliament. Justice Atogaba expressed worry at how politics is permeated decision-making at the Supreme Court.
That's why, anyway, you see, matters this country, we want to pretend, but politics has entered everywhere.
Why do you say so?
I mean, I'm coming. Politics has entered everywhere. These politicians, you know how they operate. They are not interested in the righteousness of the matter, the correctness, but the party inclination. And that is what they use. So even somebody can know clearly that what he's standing on is wrong, but he'll push it. And, a court is a court. We persuade it for whatever reasons. I don't know. It adopts your view.
The process is such that there are checks and balances. Why would people think that because certain judges have been appointed by the president, they will toe towards the line of the government in question?
Well, let's take one example. I've nothing against that judge, but matter of principle.
Right.
This judge is taken from the High Court straight to the Supreme Court. I don't think he has even done 3 years in the High Court. I'm not aware that any decision of his has been published in any law report.
Mm.
What then so qualifies, and this person was MPP parliamentary candidate for whole constituency in 2020, I think. Yes. Now, there are so many other judges.
In fact, during the trial, the lawyer for the speaker requested that he be allowed to recuse himself.
Yes, yes.
The chief justice ruled against that.
Yes.
Because he was there to interpret the law,
in fact,
not to tow the land of any political party.
Oh, but, I mean, you can, therefore, what you are saying, if you go by that, then no question of bias can ever arise in relation to any officer. Eh? Is that a realistic thing? These forces come to play. Now, as I've said, why must that person be hoisted like that? What particularly qualifies what over and above his seniors in the High Court, in the Court of Appeal? What is there?
10 years of practice and above.
10 years of practice. In what way has he so distinguished himself? You have people who are over 20, 30 something years experience. I mean, let's look at the brass tack facts of a matter and advance ourselves. Because theoretically, anybody can argue anywhere. That's why pretentious positions can be taken and justified in the face of obvious incongruity, dishonesty. That's the trouble.
So the danger here for you is that politically exposed persons
yes.
are to the perception of bias. as it relates to the Supreme Court and the judiciary as a whole?
Definitely. But let me qualify it this way.
Mm.
It's not everybody who has been involved in politics who can be necessarily politically minded.
Right.
I can say, by speaking for myself, somebody like the late Akoto Ampaw, of blessed memory, I can say that as far as I'm concerned, even though he was in the president's chambers, he was his lawyer in the election petition 2020, if I had my way and that man was interested in going to the Supreme Court, I would have appointed him, because if a legal issue can, he will look at it professionally. Can trust Akoto Ampaw to do that. There's another lawyer. If he currently, he's a member of parliament. I've never known him. I've never seen him except on social media. Appiah Kubi.
Yes, Appiah Kubi, a member of parliament for Asante Achim.
Yes, such a person. If I had my way and he was interested in the Supreme Court, I would put him there, because he's a brass tack MPP, but very objective-minded. Very, very objective-minded.
But why do you think that the Justice Gawu is not objective?
Oh, well, it depends. Look, this man has manifested a certain background. Eh?
So that's a former acting Chief Justice, also the Supreme Court's Justice, William Atuguba, there, interacting with my colleague Elton Bobby. That full interview on the pause is available on all our social media platforms on the Joy News channel. We'll bring you more of that subsequently. And just before we head out, it's official. 18,774,159 Ghanaians have been given the all clear to vote in the December election, as the Electoral Commission has released a final breakdown of the voter register. However, the release has already stirred some controversy after the reassignment of over 800 affected voters by the closure of some polling stations, which the EC says does not meet the threshold. My colleague Michael Ashali has been monitoring events at the Electoral Commission today following that meeting. Let's start with the total number of voters on the final register. You've been talking about it, but they've been giving some breakdown in that particular statement. What does it say?
So, MFR, what we know is that of the 18,774,159, 131,478 of them will be special voters, possibly yourself and Evans Mensah and all those in our newsroom. And then, well, I don't know for Evans Mensah. But again, we have 1,870 people who, we are told, are without biometric data.
Okay.
The NDC tells us ordinarily they sort of been the missing voters list, but they've changed the name to that. So if you add these two together with the transferred voters, you get what we have, the absentee voters list.
And already some of the parties have concerns about the figures.
Yes, well, the NDC, for instance, tells us that if today's meeting didn't happen and without this particular breakdown, we wouldn't know exactly this closure of polling stations that have come through today. You can listen to the Deputy Director of Elections and IT, Rashid Tanko, explaining this to me.
I was grateful to thank them for bringing that one, but it fell short of the original summaries. And then that's what we asked for. And clearly, they know it. That's their job. That's why they were silent about it.
Mr. Tanko, so have you now taken your final voters register?
Yes, I have requested. They said I should wait for it. They are bringing it.
But are you satisfied? And almost days ago, just last week, Wednesday, when you came here for the final voters register, you asked for some documentation. It's taking close to 5 days to get you that document. Are you satisfied now with the breakdown that they've given you?
Well, we have taken notice of it. We've studied it. We've made relevant requests again on the list that they have provided. You will see that they've thought of some 884 missing absentees and due to non-existence of certain polling stations. I mean, this is a revelation they have made in their letter. So we want to get information on that. Based on that, we can come out whether we are satisfied with what they have presented or not.
They will keep the party's name, candidates and everything on the paper. Nothing will change. Do you have any questions about that? You don't think that it will disturb the voting part?
But well, anybody who thumbprint on Okeadonko will become a rejected ballot.
And Evans, we know that 12 November 2020, at exactly 10 a.m., it marks the demise of Ghana's former president, Jerry John Rawlings. And today, the opposition NDC has been commemorating the passing of its founder, with various speakers calling for party members to adhere to his values and standards. We'll bring you more from that event subsequently. That's it for Newsnight. I am MFR Pau.
And my name is Evans Mensah. I will leave you with just a clip from Jerry John Rawlings, as we've missed him. And then right after that, we'll take you live to the British Council Hall, where we'll be listening to CDD's Kontinu Akeremu lecture. You want to stay for that. Very riveting conversation just about to play out there. Stay with us here on Joy 99.7 FM.